Rent control is a terrible idea, but the provincial government is probably going to do it anyways. Should you, as a condo investor, be worried? Find out on today's episode.
Welcome to the True Condos Podcast with Andrew LaFleur, the place to get the truth on the Toronto condo market and condo investing in Toronto.
Hi there, and welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I want to talk about rent control. It's a very hot topic in the news right now. I've got a lot of strong feelings on it. I will try to keep my ranting to a minimum, but I apologize in advance if I start to go off course. It is a subject that has got me fired up, and I just can't believe what I'm hearing in the media and the headlines this week about rent control. So just to catch you up to speed, if you haven't heard already, the provincial government is one of the things that they're mulling over as they get ready for their budget coming up soon is new rules around rent control and instituting. As of right now, there is no rent control on basically any condo in Toronto. Most condos, anything built after 1991 is not subject to rent control. Anything built before that is subject to rent control, which is essentially you can only raise your rent once a year at the rate of inflation, which is around 1.5% right now. If you're built after 1991, which most condos are, and certainly any condo that we are talking about investing in here at True Condos is obviously brand new and built today or tomorrow, and therefore it has not been subject to rent control. So if rental rates are increasing at a fast rate, more than inflation, which often they are, then you are able to, as a landlord, increase your rents by any amount you wish. And this is one of the amazing tools and amazing reasons why we like to invest in condos. So provincial government, Kathleen Wynne, is coming along and basically saying we have a housing affordability crisis and we need to do something, some things about it. And one of the things they're looking at is introducing rent control. Exactly how it's going to shake out, I mean, most likely it sounds like they're going to do something with regards to rent control. How it's going to shake out exactly, we don't know. So we can't speculate on that, but there probably is going to be something. So, you know, brace yourself for that. There's going to be something. How it plays out exactly, we don't know. Benjamin Tall of CIBC, who's been interviewed on this podcast before, he put out a great note, bulletin, article, whatever you want to call it. He's the chief economist of CIBC. This guy really knows his stuff. He's brilliant on housing. Excellent economist and just a great guy, great speaker, very funny guy if you ever get a chance to listen to him. But he put out this great article and we'll reference it a bit here, but he's basically, his headline is rent control is the wrong medicine. This is a bad idea for our market. And if you're trying to improve housing affordability, this is going to have the exact opposite effect of what you think it will. It seems to me, I mean, first of all, that we have very short memories when it comes to this stuff. No one seems to be going back in time to when rent controls were introduced in the first place, back in the early 90s. And we need to ask ourselves, why do we have a lack of rent controls on condos and anything built after 1991? What is the reason for that? Why did the provincial the provincial government in 1991, which by the way was an NDP government, a left-wing government, was the one that removed the rent controls in the first place in the early 90s? And they did it because, again, at the time there was a housing crisis. Rents were, or there was just no supply of new rental product coming online after years and years of rent control, which was introduced in the 1970s, in the early 70s. So when you have a housing crisis, rent control is really the opposite, basically, is what Benjamin Tal is saying of what you want to do. He quotes a couple of great, I had a couple of great quotes here from other economists. Left-leading Swedish economist Assar Lindbeck says, in many cases, rent control appears to be the most efficient technique presently known to destroy a city, except for bombing. Okay, the next one from Milton Friedman, who he says is the ultimate free market, sort of right-wing economist, says, the introduction of rent control is politically feasible only in areas with no recent experience, because only an electorate uninformed of its consequences will support it. I think that's really the key quote for me. Only an electorate uninformed of its consequences will support it. So the problem is that nobody is around really much anymore, or certainly does not have a loud voice in the discourse out there in the marketplace, who was around in 1991 when the rent controls were removed in the first place. And I'm certainly not pretending to have been there myself. I was obviously just a kid in 1991 when this was the case. But it seems to me that the electorate and most people renting today, and anybody who's supporting this idea of bringing in rent control, I mean, I'll admit on the surface, it seems like rent control is a good idea. It seems like you would want to restrict rents from going up too quickly on people. That certainly makes sense. You'd want to have some kind of restraint on landlords' ability to increase rents. On paper, it makes sense. But again, go back and look at our history, study the past, and you'll see there are clear and very convincing arguments as to why this rent control was removed in the first place. Some of my thoughts, I mean, I think the scariest part about this whole thing is that what started this whole interest in rent controls was a couple of news articles in the mainstream media. The CBC, I've written about it and ranted about it on podcasts in the past few weeks and months. The CBC and others have done articles about one or two or three tenants in the city who have received notices that their rental rates are going to be increasing by some large number. The one this week was 100%. Somebody's rent is being increased in Queen West by 100%, from $1,650 a month to $3,300 a month. And so that's the headline. That's what people see, rents increasing by 100%. And unfortunately, people just take that at surface value and they think that that's actually what's happening in the marketplace. But of course, in reality, nobody's rent is increasing by 100%. No landlord is going to get $3,300 a month for a one-bedroom unit. It's simply a case of a clumsy landlord who wants to get rid of a tenant, and the only way that they can seemingly think of to do that is to jack their rent up by 100%. If they had have just done it by, maybe $200 instead of $1,600, probably would have had the same effect and certainly would have not made any headlines. It's not very interesting to say, rental rate went up 12%, but that probably would have had the exact same effect of removing that tenant. No media story, no hullabaloo or whatever you want to call it, and nobody cares and life goes on. But, that's what happened. The tenant brings this to the media. The media says, wow, this is a great headline. This is going to get a lot of clicks. Let's put it out there. And that's exactly what they did. And now we have the premier of the province basically talking about implementing new policy, which will affect one of the largest sectors of our economy, one of the most important sectors of our national economy, let alone a provincial economy, which is the GTA real estate market. And they're talking about implementing new policies based on basically just a headline that is a lie. And the lie is that rents are going up 100%. Rents are not going up 100%. Rents are maybe going up 10% a year right now. We'll see what the new numbers come out next week from Urban Nation. But if you look at how rents have been going up over the past, say, 5 years, it's been around 3, 4, 5%. You know, some quarters it's 1 or 2%, but that's about it. Let's say an average of 3 or 4% over the last 5 years. We've had one quarter of double digit, you know, 9, 10% rental increases. One. We've had one quarter out of the last, say, 5 or 6 years of 10% rental increases, and suddenly we have a rental crisis. We have a housing affordability crisis in our entire province because of this. It's absolutely ridiculous that we're at this point where, again, it's the power of the media. It's interesting to see how these things play out. Might create a cynic out of me, but we got one or two headlines, and that all of a sudden we change the course of a major part of our economy in our most populous province because of it. It's scary, but it is the reality of the world that we live in today. So like I said, it's going to happen. We don't know exactly how it's going to be implemented, but it's looking very likely that something's going to come down the pipe in the budget, in the form of new legislation or whatever. So we as investors, how do we prepare for this? How do we respond to this? I mean, the question of should we be worried? Should we be worried about this as condo investors? No, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I'm worried about the society and government as a whole, that we're creating policy, like I said, based on a couple of headlines that are just completely misleading. But should we be worried as condo investors, and should we be running for the hills, and is nobody, you know, should we not buy our condos, going to be a terrible investment or something? Not at all. You know, anytime artificial restraints are introduced to a market, I mean, money's kind of like water. It just flows through and over and around anything. And in a free market, at the end of the day, everything evens out, and there's always an equilibrium. So, I mean, if rental rates go down, then the asset prices go up. I mean, and vice versa. It's just the way that it goes in a free market. So if rental controls, we don't know, again, how it's going to play out or what effect it will have. But if there's some negative impact of rent controls on the market in one area, there will be a spin-off, and there will be a positive impact on another area. Most simply that if, like I said, if somehow rents are restricted, the income of the asset is restricted, then the value of the asset will go up. And that just tends to be how it is. So that's the beauty of real estate. That's the beauty of investing in a cash flow producing asset like real estate. You know, you always are going to win. If you own the asset, you always are going to win. No matter what happens over the long term, if you own the asset, you're always going to come out on top. So it's nothing to be fearful of. It's change. You know, things will be different. We might have to approach things differently. We might have to change our strategies of what types of unit we buy, what neighborhoods we buy in, you know, how we go about renting out our units, the type of tenants that we put in our units, when we buy, when we sell. There might be some changes in strategies that come in, or it could be nothing. This could be all depending on how it's actually implemented, like I said. But at the end of the day, if you own that asset, you're always going to win. Yeah, so that's some thoughts there for me to begin things here. What else? Just looking at my notes, we don't have we don't have a rent housing affordability crisis or renting affordability crisis. It's completely untrue. Yes, rental rates are rising. You know, like, put it this way, rental rates are rising, you know, every quarter for the past 5, 6 years at, you know, let's say 3%. We've had one quarter of 10%. When you look at the price of low-rise housing, it's been rising at, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 or 30% for like 10 years straight. So how does, you know, one quarter of decent, unusually high rental rate increases compared to 10 years of low-rise housing price increases? I mean, if there's any part of the market that is in crisis, certainly it is the low-rise housing market, resale market for purchase, and is certainly not the rental market. That it's ridiculous that we've had one hot quarter and suddenly the whole world is falling apart and look out, we need rent control. Meanwhile, 10 years of rapid price growth and the government has just sat there and basically done little or nothing. It is what it is. As I look at my notes, I think I've covered a lot of it. I mean, again, one of the things I'm starting to study and look at on my own to understand and prepare for rent control is what has happened in other cities with rent control. And it's very easy to look that up and Google it and look at how rent control devastates housing affordability and economies, housing. Housing markets and artificially distorts them around the world. Stockholm is a great example where the average wait time is something like 9 years for an apartment in Stockholm. Many buildings and many, you know, in the core of the city, you're looking at up to 20-year waiting lists for buildings. It freezes people, nobody moves, it's completely unfair. Both to tenants and landlords, people who don't need to benefit from it end up benefiting, and people who should benefit from rent control end up not benefiting from it. Key money is a term that, you know, again, if you're under the age of 40, you probably never even heard of that term, key money. But key money was a very common thing back in Toronto in the 70s, 80s, in the 90s, where up until the rent control was removed, where basically tenants who were locked into these rent controlled units would, you know, you basically have a black market for rentals where you have this unit locked down. It's almost like season tickets to the lease, and you're selling that lease to somebody else for, you know, thousands of dollars for maybe a year or two, and then you go from there. Or people paying off landlords to allow them to live in the unit as opposed to somebody else, because they know that they're in the rent controlled environment. Illegal subletting and all this stuff, it just creates a major tension and adversarial nature in the market. And ultimately, you know, rent control at the end of the day, it's like you put up a big sign over the entire city and you're basically telling people go away. Like you look at Stockholm and you know, to some extent New York City and other places that have major rent control issues like this, it's like you're basically saying, you know, you want to come here, good luck, forget it, don't even bother, 20-year waiting list, you know, go somewhere else. Like, we are not open for business. We are not open for growth. We're not open to change. We are a stagnant city where nobody moves. And you've got these wealthy people making, $100,000 a year, and they're paying $1,000 a month in rent because, you know, their grandmother got that apartment back in the 70s and whatever you might. So, I think that's enough for now. Next week, I am going to hopefully interview Sean Hildebrand from Urban Nation, and Sean's got some great thoughts and insights on this. And he works as a consultant with a lot of purpose-built rental developers as well. So he's got some different take on things as well. So I'd love to get his insights on it for you too. So stay tuned for that. And definitely, definitely, definitely check out Benjamin Tal's article, which I will include a link to in the show notes for this episode, and read that. Great read. TrueCondos.com/podcast, of course, to find all the show notes for this episode. This is episode 139, And I'll include a link there to Benjamin Tal's article and others for you there. So until next time, I hope you have a great week and I hope you found this podcast useful. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the True Condos Podcast. Remember, your positive reviews make a big difference to the show. To learn more about condo investing, become a True Condos subscriber by visiting truecondos.com.